right, let's get Proverbs chapter 14. And tonight, a lighter message, maybe fun, maybe not so fun. For the ladies, how a woman builds her house and how she tears it down. Let's look at Proverbs 14 and verse 1. A familiar proverb to us. We see here, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word tonight, I pray that you would challenge, especially our ladies, help them to understand and recognize the important role that they play as mothers, grandmothers, and future mothers. And to know that they have an important duty in their home. They set the tone. And in many ways, impact in inescapable ways the atmosphere, the demeanor, the attitude, the conduct of their home. And I pray that we would all recognize we can, with a moment's indulgence, cost ourselves a lifetime of regret. I pray that we would be diligent then to fulfill the role that you've given us, fulfill it rightly. I thank you, Lord, for the ladies that are here in our church, the mothers, wives. I thank you for their commitment to you, their dedication, their desire to serve you and to serve their children rightly and to raise them up for you. I pray that you'd bless them in this work and this calling. Help them, Lord, that they would listen attentively. And in areas that need correction or improvement, I pray that they would be committed to making what changes need to be made. That all of us, all the time, would be examining ourselves to see if we're living a life that's consistent with our calling in Christ. And that where we find a lack, or where we find a sin, that we would be quick to identify it and root it out and take steps to prevent it from coming back. And I pray that there would be a constant emphasis on this in our own personal lives, all of us. That we would not blame others when things are not going well, but that we would look at ourselves and see what we should do and do better. And I pray that you'd help us with these things in Jesus' name. The proverb teaches a really simple truth. There's a house-building kind of woman and a house-plucking kind of woman. And the house-building kind of woman is a wise woman, and the house-plucker is a foolish woman. The second part of the proverb might seem too obvious even to mention. The woman pulls her house down on her own head. That's not a mark of wisdom. This is not what we would think should be done. Certainly it would be a foolish thing for a woman to take an axe or a sledgehammer or some other kind of destructive tool and start knocking the walls of her house down. If you do that long enough, eventually the roof is coming down. And if you're inside, well, you know, I mean, even if you're outside, if you're close enough to knock the wall down, it's probably not going to be good for you on that. And yet there are many women who don't need a sledgehammer or a pry bar or a jackhammer or any of that sort of thing. And they tear it down with their mouth quite often. Certainly, pluck it down with their own hands. Let me quickly add that there's no middle ground between these two kinds of women. There's not like a fence that is to be straddled on this particular point. No husband would defend his wife by saying, well, you know, most of the time she's not tearing the house down. If you know, part of the time she's tearing the house down, this is not a good thing. Typically, as you all know, it's much faster to tear things down than it is to build them back up. And an hour of demolition is worth days of rebuilding or reconstruction. And so if she is only taking, you know, out of the 24 hours she has in the day, only one is spent on tearing the house down, We're not going to say, oh, good, shoot. I was worried that she was spending more time on it than that. We don't want that. You know, 60% of the time she builds a house, it's only like 40% of the time that she tears it down. Now, we know that destruction always is much faster with that. No one wants to hear, well, she does her house wrecking in moderation. This is not how we look at it. You either build your house or you tear it down. If you're building it, then you don't want to tear it down. If you're tearing it down, you certainly can't say, but I'm also building it. With that. The proverb tells us that it is the wisdom of a woman that builds a house. And that's an interesting thing to me, because we typically would say that the man is the one to build the house, but the Bible says that every wise woman builds the house. She does it. The Bible places great emphasis on the wisdom of women in building their house. And ladies, it's easy to think, well, you know, the husband's the head. I'm supposed to submit to him, so hey, you know, if he's doing his job, things are going to go well, and if he's not, you know, that's his fault. His problem right there. I'm along for the ride. And you're not a passive passenger in the car. But God also gives responsibility to you, and you play a role in building your house, an important role. It's not a secondary role. It's not a out on the outskirts kind of role. It is a crucial part that you play in building your house. It's not by accident that the book of Proverbs pictures wisdom as a woman. Wisdom hath builded her house, the Bible says. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Isn't that interesting? And so the wisdom of a wife and of a mother plays a huge role, critical role, in the success or failure of the house. God has given wise women a special ability to bless their home. And a man can be very hardworking and very diligent and very careful with his responsibilities. And it can all be undone by his wife. Or if she doesn't actively help him in building the house, it can be a case of him working doubly hard because he has to drag her along with him. But a woman who will commit herself in wisdom to aid her husband in building the house and will join along with him in building it will magnify tenfold, a hundredfold his ability in his home to see his home established for the Lord. As a wise woman fears the Lord. And we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A wise woman is an expert economist and skilled manager. She has a well-ordered household. A wise woman is gracious and kind and grows more beautiful over time. Now, these are all things that we find in the Word of God, characteristic of wise women. She strengthens her arms. She improves her mind. She loves God with all her heart and soul and strength and mind and might. She grows more holy. She cultivates her heart. A wise woman finds her deepest fulfillment and satisfaction in managing her home in a fruitful way. And she works very hard to see her home flourish and prosper. Her children, her husband also. Proverbs 31 describes all of this to us in terms of the virtuous woman. This is a woman that the Bible lifts up and says is worthy of praise. She is to be praised. And you see it. You don't have to be told it because you see how ordered her house is, how blessed her home is by her and the specific work that she does. She's industrious. She buys and sells fields and merchandise. She brings her ships from afar. She doesn't live by the philosophy that a woman's place is in the home. Let me say that again. All right? she doesn't live by the philosophy that a woman's place is in the home. I know that that's what is said often, usually in churches. But this is not what we find in the Word of God. When you look at the virtuous woman, she's not sitting around at home painting her nails and eating, you know, bonbons. She's not doing that. She's out. She's busy. She's got dirt under her fingernails. She's got calluses on her hands. She works hard. She finds ways to bless her house, to add to the income of her home and family so that the house can flourish, so that it can prosper, so that the needs are being met. All her merchandise and all of her industry, though, is not for her own sake, to enrich herself or prosper herself, but it is for the sake of her home and family. Her priority is in her home. That's the most important thing to her, is to build her house so that the work that she does outside of the home, the calluses she's getting and the dirt she has under her fingernails, are for the good of her household, to bless her house and her family. She pours her heart into making her home a haven for her family so that her husband can't wait to get home, so that her children love the culture of their home and love to be at home. So many women today have given something else top priority, top billing in their home. Their priorities are misplaced. They give their energy and their attention to selfish pursuits. That's, you know, the jokes are forever long about women and shopping and spending. It's as if the man is out working and the woman takes, you know, and men are joke about, you know, I just go home and hand my paycheck to my wife and then she spends it all and I go and work more and so on. And this is the kind of thing that men talk about and banter around. And the women just, you know, like when you say shopping, their eyes light up. And, you know, it's like the stereotypical thing that we joke about. But it shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be that way. And you're not doing these things for your own sake. And I see all of you laughing out there because you know your wives love to shop, because but they love to shop for heels. And that's different, right? The value section is a well-worn path back to the discount section in the grocery store. And the ladies all know where it is. I'm amazed at how fast my wife can find it, wherever we are. But I think you know what I'm saying. It's not about you. It's about your home and your family. And this is your priority. And as a result, all over town, what we see is houses that have been plucked down by mothers, wives, women. It's shameful. It really is. I know that deadbeat dads also bear a lot of responsibility, and dads who aren't there for their families. But there's also a crisis of women who are tearing down their house with their own hands. Don't let that be your house. Don't let that be your house. Build your house. Don't tear it down. Sometimes it can be helpful then to approach a topic backwards. All right? You know, the misrules. My rhetoric class, we always go through William Sapphire's book, 50 Misrules of Grammar, and he goes through and talks about different things that you shouldn't do and illustrates it in a wonderful way. I'm going to give you the misrules of building your house tonight. A little facetious, a little tongue-in-cheek, in order to illustrate the way a woman might tear down her own house. I'll give you the Ten Commandments for a woman who wishes to pluck down her own house. Now, just before we get started, as you write these ten rules down, right next to them, don't do this. Okay? Because I don't want you to do this, okay? That's the point. I don't want you to obey these Ten Commandments. Hopefully you don't wish to tear down your own house, but every foolish woman obeys these Ten Commandments, and this is the way she plucks down her house with her hands. First of all, thou shalt worship anything but the Lord thy God. Since worship is inescapable, and since we were made to worship, you either worship rightly or wrongly, but there's no escaping that worship. Ladies, you either worship rightly or wrongly. You either worship the true and living God, or you worship something else that is not God. Besides the fact that it's wicked sin for us to worship anything besides the Lord our God, it also is great folly for us to do so, and the Bible gives us good reason for saying so. Because we become what we worship. Those who worship idols become like them. Thus, those who worship the Lord our God are remade, refashioned in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know how to become more like Christ, the Bible is very clear on this. Worship Him. Worship Him faithfully. Worship Him devotedly. Worship Him zealously, diligently. Be committed to Him and only Him. There's no quicker way to self-destruction than to worship idols. And this is how the psalmist describes it in Psalm 115. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Now, ladies, it's very easy for you, and I've said this to you multiple times in the past, that it's very easy for you to let your husband's faith be your faith and not to really foster any kind of relationship with God or walk with God, but rather just depend on your husband to have that. And I've talked in the past about ladies whose husbands died, and then they said, wow, I never realized how much I relied on his walk with God and didn't have one of my own, and now I have no one to fall back on. Don't let that happen with you. I tell you that your home will be blessed if you have your own walk with God. Not independent of Him. Not as an autonomous agent. But a walk with God that you can fall back on. That you can rely on. Because that is going to build Him also in the faith. And we need, and I think the husbands would echo this, we need our wives, our ladies, to challenge us in our spiritual walk with God, in our spiritual life. We need them to be adding to our, so that our fellowship is not just as husband and wife, but as spiritual fellowship, is building us up in the ways of the Lord. There's no quicker way to become unseen and unhearing and unfeeling, senseless, heartless, thoughtless, brutes, than to worship anything besides the Lord God of heaven. Jesus keeps everything centered. So when we're worshiping Him, our lives are centered as well. When we're not worshiping Him or worshiping Him rightly, our lives get out of whack, get off tilt, get out of balance very quickly. When we leave Him and turn to something that is not Him, we pursue our own destruction. Romans 1 speaks of those who worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. The result is the destruction of their lives, and especially that destruction shows up in their sexual lives. That's why, again, we have ladies out there in our world who have five different children with five different last names. It's not just the men. There are it's easy to just blame the men, but there are plenty of men who would say, I wanted to be a part of my kids' lives. I wanted to be married to their mother, and she would have nothing to do with it. She stepped out on me. She ran out on me. That kind of thing is happening more and more in our world today. Let's don't just blame it on the men. Let's be very clear here that ladies also play an important role in this. It's not surprising that our culture, which has turned away from God so decidedly, is so plagued with family problems, divorce, single moms, single dads, fatherless homes, motherless homes, and so forth. We left God, and so God has left us to ourselves. And the result has been devastation and destruction, especially to our homes and families. Listen, ladies, you are foolish to take for granted that your husband is going to be walking with the Lord consistently throughout your life, and to make no preparations that in case sin should ever enter into the family or temptation should ever take you in your home. Beware! Beware of this. Don't presume on God's goodness. If you have a godly, God-fearing husband who honors the Lord and walks with the Lord, be thankful for that. But don't be a drag. But don't make him drag you along. Walk along with him, with the Lord. A wise woman is a woman who seeks the Lord with all her heart, who is faithful to worship him every day, every week, whose life centers on the right worship of the Lord. She praises him to her children and obeys him from the heart in her home. And she teaches her children to do the same. And this is the kind of wisdom that builds a house. 2 Timothy 3, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And of course, we know that Timothy is a wonderful example of a mother and a grandmother who built their house. Second commandment, misrule. For a woman who wishes to tear down her house, thou shalt be a silly woman laden with sins. 2 Timothy 3:6 says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Ladies, commandments, God's commandments are for your protection. When you disregard those commandments, especially in pursuit of your lusts, you invite chaos and destruction into your house. So many women in our day, so many women are perfectly happy to jump in bed with any man who gives them a little attention. And then they don't understand why the guy walks out and never comes back and never answers a text or returns a phone call. They go from bad relationship to bad relationship, from heartbreak to heartbreak. They give birth to fatherless children. And it's because they tolerate sin in their lives. It's because they live according to the lust of their flesh and of their mind. Lightning, you know, can strike pretty fast. There usually are not warning signs in advance of a lightning strike. And that's about how fast a woman can hit the self-destruct button on her life. When the woman taken in adultery was brought to Jesus, he told the men who brought her, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. But to the woman, Jesus said, go and sin no more. Isn't that something? Go and sin no more. It's the part of the story that often gets ignored. But that woman was in sin. She was a fallen woman. And that's the kind of thing that is destructive to your home. When you pursue sin, Understand, it doesn't have to be sexual sin. When you pursue sin your own way, anger, rage, resentment, bitterness, gossip, criticism, slander, sins of the tongue, sins of the mind, sins of the actions and behavior. When you pursue sin, you pursue death. You pursue destruction. Not only for yourself, but also for your family. Third, here's the third commandment. Thou shalt fill thy days with foolish and wasteful pursuits. Watch soap operas. Update your Facebook status. Start a mommy blog. Go shopping. Snack all day. Check your emails. Text your friends. And forget God. Neglect your duties. Waste your time and your money. And the rest is easy. Gravity will take care of the rest. You know, if you chip away at the foundation for long enough, if you smack the walls with the sledgehammer long enough, gravity will bring the house down. It doesn't take an engineering degree to tear a house down. Those hands on the remote control, those hands on the mouse and keyboard, those hands on the smartphone, those hands on the credit card, those hands on the potato chips. Those are the hands that will bring the house down around your ears. Through wisdom is an house builded, the Bible says, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, I don't know any woman, and I don't know any, especially in here in this church, who would not like their house to be built up like that. To have it established. Ladies, in my experience, want that those roots in the ground. They want that house to be established. They want that security. And the Bible is saying that your security does not depend merely on your husband, but it depends also on you being a woman of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And that would mean that time that you have, free time that you have, ought to be spent in profitable pursuits, things that will add to your ability to conduct the affairs, to manage the affairs of your home, and to fill your house with precious and pleasant riches. So that means then that above all else, the wise woman orders her life around the Word of God, her priorities, her duties, her desires. All of them are defined by Scripture. And where she is not certain what the Bible says about such a something, or where she is uncertain how to think about a certain thing, she goes to the Word of God. Yes, it's good for a wife to go to her husband and talk to him, but he doesn't always have all the answers. His name is not Google or Wikipedia or any of the rest of those things. And so sometimes she needs to search it out for herself and see what the Word of God says. Her discipline of her children, the rules that she enforces, the way that she enforces them. All these things need to be informed by the Word of God, and she needs to be under the Word of God in what she does. Fourth commandment, for ladies who wish to tear down their house, thou shalt be indulgent. Thou shalt be indulgent. Thou shalt let thyself and thy house go. Don't complain. Don't clean until he complains. Complain until he complains, but don't clean until he complains. Then, when he complains, act like all you do is work around the house and he doesn't do a thing around there. And why do you have to just grumble about it? Snack all day, exercise none, do your hair when you're going out, only when you're going out. Clean the house when you have company, unless, of course, you can keep them outside, or limit them, you know, to one or two rooms. Let your kids go Don't discipline them. Never oppose their will. Never make them do anything that they don't want to do. If they throw a fit, or after a while, you know, kids learn to condition their parents, and so they no longer have to throw the fit. They just have to get that look on their face that they get right before they throw the fit. And then the parents will back down. And so then the children have learned to express their displeasure with mom or with dad, and learned the tone of voice or the expression on their face that will back mom or dad down. And of course, if you want to tear your house down, then by all means, respond to that the way that you've been conditioned to respond to it. Back down when they express their displeasure. Never oppose their will. Let them run free without restraint. We're 2, 3, maybe 4 generations now into this kind of indulgence on a cultural level. Parents who have chosen to indulge their children rather than discipline their children. It started in the 1960s, and I am, you know, too slow at math to figure out how many generations ago that would be. It started before the 1960s, but at the conclusion of World War II, when all these dads are dead, moms are raising the kids by themselves, and then Dr. Spock comes along and tells us all that we don't need to spank our kids, and that introduces a novel concept. We won't spank them. We'll discipline them other ways, only then we don't discipline them at all, because it's all abusive, ultimately. Any kind of opposition to a child's self-will is ultimately abuse, if that's how you define things. And so as a result, we have indulgent great-grandparents indulging their grandchildren who are indulging their great-grandchildren, if that makes any sense. I got lost in the family tree somewhere. You come back to that bush later and shake it. We have indulgent adults raising indulgent kids, and that's a recipe for disaster, and that's why we're in the disaster we're in. I look at these grandparents now, you know, and they're all tattooed up and all that stuff, and they look, it's an optical illusion. They've got the gray hair of wisdom, you know, and then you talk to them and discover that they're just the biggest fools, as big of fools as their kids are. Mm-hmm. One of the ways a foolish mother plucks down her house with her hands is this. She just lets things go. Just let it go. We're out driving out in the country, and we'll see, you know, it's an odd thing with ranches. I see this. Ranches, farms, and so on. They build a new house, and they move out of the old, and they just let it go. They just leave it. The windows are all gone, and the house is starting to collapse. And you see that this is what gravity and time do when they work together on a thing. And the house will crumble if you let it go, if you neglect it. And so rather than teach and instruct and guide and counsel and mold and shape, indulgent parents let their children explore for themselves, learn on their own, come to their own conclusions. We don't want to tell them what to think. We don't want to tell them what religion to follow, what to think about God, and so on. Imagine if during the night your enemy planted a couple of landmines in your backyard, and you say, you know, I don't want to be restrictive on my kids, and I want them to play in the backyard. Of course, I want them to play in the backyard. And I don't want to tell them what to do, so I just open the back door and say, have at it, kids. Don't step on a landmine. If you do, we'll call 911 for you. And yet that is exactly what parents are doing. Children, turning the kids loose into a world that is full of landmines. Your children need your help and your guidance to navigate this. Open your Bible. Pour your heart out to God in prayer and seek for wisdom and guidance and help as you instruct your children so they won't be destroyed by the bombs that are buried in the backyard. Then discipline them, correct them, instruct them, apply God's word faithfully to them. One of the most shameful passages in all of Scripture is the story of Ahaziah, one of Israel's wickedest kings. The Bible tells us 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. What a terrible, terrible thing. And yet, and I see it, mothers who let their children speak disrespectfully to them, disobey them, and think that it's cute. Let their children throw temper tantrums and think that it's cute. What a terrible phrase. Mothers should rehearse it frequently and avoid it carefully. Mark the foolish woman, Charles Bridges said. Her idleness, waste, love of pleasures, want of all forethought and care. Her children's will allowed, their souls neglected, their happiness ruined. I have never seen indulgent parents whose kids grew up to be happy. Always, their lives are full of chaos, a mess, a train wreck. Fifth commandment, we're halfway through. Thou shalt neglect thy walk with God. Mothering can be a terribly busy vocation. And if we're not careful, we'll neglect those things that are crucial in favor of those things that are not. Martha was cumbered about much serving while Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him. And Jesus said to Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Listen to me. You know, our family is changing. And we're, as you know, we're headed out this week to our two oldest graduating from college. Pretty exciting for us. But we just celebrated Laura's 18th birthday. I know that she looks like she's 12 still. She is 18. And I realized then that I had four kids over the age of 18 now. I'm still amazed at how I maintain my youth and vigor all these years. But things are changing, but there's years, and the kids are teenagers, and the laundry is never done. And my wife would have to have this, rigorous schedule with the laundry, and had to put laundry in when she woke up in the morning. She was doing laundry when we went to at lunchtime. She was doing laundry throughout the day. She was doing every night. I'd come home and the table would be piled with laundry, and the kids would all be, put your books down, take your clothes to your bedroom. And there had to be this rigorous schedule. And before night, the last thing she would do is to turn on the wash machine or the dryer so that a load would be washing and a load would be drying. And there is no rest. And yet, there has to be. There has to be time spent with God. It has to be. Nothing will add to the frustration of your busy life like neglecting your time alone with God. It will magnify the frustrations. Be faithful to walk with God. You won't always finish the laundry. In fact, in my experience, you never finish the laundry because the kids are wearing clothes. My wife pointed out that with our five kids and me and her, us wearing clothes, that's a full load of laundry right there on your bodies at this moment. It's always there. You never finish. You won't always keep your house immaculate, and this may sound like a reversal of what I said before, but you know, it's okay. It's okay to let things go a little bit so you can spend time in the Word of God. Those things away. Get alone with God, and don't just do it out of duty. Do it for delight. Enjoy the time you spend in the Word. Love God through His Word. Love God in prayer. Love pouring your heart out to Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Think of your time in the Word as the time you gather the materials out of which you will build the house. Because that's what you're doing. You're gathering the lumber and the nails. Most construction people today use cordless drills and cordless saws, and all this stuff is cordless, but you got to charge the batteries to do that. If you're going to feed your family, you're going to have to go to the grocery store. There we go. Shopping, right? Eyes light up. Think of that time spent in the Word and in prayer as the time when you're gathering the food that you'll cook and feed your family to your family. The sixth commandment. For a woman who wishes to tear down her house, thou shalt be angry and contentious, especially with thy husband and with thy children. Save the happy times for when you're out in public, when people see you. Make sure your kids wonder if maybe they need to join a different family than yours in order to get you to be nice to them. Make sure your husband knows that you will always be pleasant in front of other people, but never away from them. When you're at home, snap at the kids, crab at your husband, be belligerent, be obstinate, make sure that your opinion is heard and heard loudly. And if your husband ever opposes your will, make sure he pays for it. Hundredfold. This is yet another rule for housewives with a death wish. Not that your husband will kill you. He shouldn't. But when your house collapses on your head, you might suffer. Ladies, do you ever pause and replay just after a 15-minute tirade? Just say, wait a second. If that was recorded, what would that sound like? And would I be proud of how I sounded there? I imagine that some might be embarrassed a little bit if after a particular rage fest, they looked up and saw a member of the church standing in the doorway. Anger is one of the great destroyers of our homes. And yet, quite often, mama is the one who ain't never happy. The Bible teaches us that it is characteristic of the virtuous woman that she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, I know there are times when a wife, a mother, thinks that I would never get anything done if I spoke gently and kindly to my children. And yet, this ought to be characteristic of us. This is the problem with anger, is that anger works. That's the reason we use it. Because it gets us what we want. It is a short-term gain, but long-term, it is destructive. Here's the way to build your house. The law of kindness in the tongue. The anger, the nagging, the contention, the strife, those are the things that tear the house down. Kindness builds it. The seventh commandment for a woman who wishes to tear down her house: thou shalt be foolish and careless with money. One of the ways a foolish woman plucks down her house with her hands is in the way she spends money without regard for the family budget. Money problems legendarily cause marital problems. The virtuous woman described in Proverbs 31 is a wise steward of her money. She doesn't drain the family budget. She contributes to the family budget. She adds to it with her own industry. Proverbs 31:16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. In other words, she is using her time in order to provide more income for her family. She makes the dollars stretch as well by her thrift and care. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. That kind of contribution to the family budget helps to build the house. But the kind of shop till you drop consumerism, I've got to have that handbag, and I've got to have that dress, and I've got to have that label and that name brand, and I've got to have that thing right there. That is a recipe for destruction. It will bring down the house. The eighth commandment. Thou shalt complain a lot and criticize more. Nothing makes it more awkward, you know, to be out in public and to see people that your wife was just criticizing just a little bit ago, harshly. Especially, of course, the foolish woman criticizes the people that her husband likes, even including, especially, his closest friends. You know, don't limit your criticism to those outside your home either. Criticize your husband. Criticize him not just to his face. Criticize him to other people. Tell other people what his faults are. Tell everyone what their problems are. Of course, though, you know, especially tell people what your kids' problems are. Tell them that, too. Make sure that everyone knows what their problems are, and that their problem is not your fault or anything to do with you, of course. Deflect any responsibility. If you really want to do a job on your house, then have no regard for your husband, for his hard work, for his relationships, or for any of the things that really matter to him. Live for yourself, you know, be the queen. Send all your minions around to do your errands for you, and blog about your mothering skills while you're at it. But never stop to consider how this might affect your family. Your kids need to know that you're unhappy. I mean, it's what good is it to be unhappy and have no one know it, right? They need to know the cause of your displeasure, which is, you know, the old man. Now, of course, I'm being facetious, as I have been on and off throughout the message here. When mom complains all the time, what she teaches her children is to be self-absorbed. She does not teach her children that she has a really hard life and they should pity her. She teaches them to be self-absorbed just like she is. If you're very hard to please and very easy to disappoint, you might want to re-examine that approach to life, especially to parenting. The day will come when your children will learn what a powerful tool complaining and criticism really is, and guess who they will aim it at? Not the next door neighbor. Maybe the pastor, but most likely you. Now, we have a generation of young people now that it's so common now that when I hear about a new place,
that's doing it, I just roll my eyes.
Young people who grew up in churches like ours and who now write blogs and start websites about, you know, stop the abusers at whatever place, that kind of thing. And they do it all the time. They never say, my mom complained all the time. But I'll bet you that had something to do with it. Right there. The woman who builds her home with wisdom understands that it is not all about her. She doesn't make it her mission in life to make sure that the family appreciates all the sacrifices that she makes and all the work and labor she puts in. She doesn't, in other words, use her service to her family to manipulate her children into appreciating her. She sacrifices for her family willingly and is unwilling to sacrifice her family for herself. Here's the ninth commandment. Thou shalt be crabby as much of the day as is physically possible. Wake up crabby. Crab at the kids on the way to school, crab at them when they get home, crab at meal times and at bedtimes, crab about their bedrooms, crab about their jobs. Be an equal opportunity crabber. While you're at it, crab at everything and everyone. You know, the world needs more scolds. In general, if you want to tear down your own house, never control your mood. Never. Always let your mood control you. Right? When you wake up in a bad mood, work hard to maintain that bad mood throughout the day. Now, this might overlap some with previous commandments, but it is unique enough to warrant its own separate commandment and point. There are cases where the constant nagging is not motivated by anger or resentment, but just by a crabby, moody disposition, because no one ever told you to put a happy face on and shake it off and learn to be of good cheer. You're unhappy so much that you take a twisted kind of joy in being unhappy. You are, in fact, only happy when you are unhappy. And if you're that way, you're pulling the house down on yourself and on your family. The Bible says in Psalm 113, verse 9, a mark of God's blessing is that he maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Not just a mother, a joyful mother. Joy builds the house. Crankiness destroys it. And now we come to the 10th commandment. Thou shalt have no regard for the Lord in whatsoever thou doest. Do your own thing. You know, you're free, white, over 18. Live like it. Nobody can tell you what to do. God has many instructions for a wife and mother in his word, and you ought to purposely, intentionally obey them all. Obey them all. And that would require you to study in order to understand as many of them as possible. So many ladies live their lives without regard for God and his word. You want to think that you're okay? You know, maybe you've made a profession of faith and you've been baptized, so you think you have a free pass to live like you want. Therefore, that's a problem among Christians. We rely on that profession of faith. We rely on that Christian experience. And we just assume that I'm a Christian. You know, once you're saved, you're always saved. So I can do what I want. But if you're living without regard for God, it will not be okay in the last day. It will not be. Your desire to live without regard shall be filled with his own ways. When you live in harmony with the Lord, you are then in a position to build your house. But when you live in opposition to him, you pluck your house down by that opposition. There have been those who were very spiritual in the way that they disregarded God. Have you ever noticed that? That there are some people who the way that they explain it sounds so spiritual, and yet when you look at it, they are disregarding God. Now, throughout this message, I have given you a variety of things that are certain to tear your house down. I would list anger, harsh words, laziness, self-indulgence, unfaithfulness, malice, strife, envy, bitterness, unkindness, lack of compassion, all of those things. If you would build your house, learn from the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. She gives you the example, ladies. Follow her virtue, her faithfulness, her industry, her thrift, her strength, her compassion, her prudence, her honor, her joy, her kindness, her wisdom, her attentiveness, and most importantly, her fear of the Lord. Follow that. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It would be impossible to estimate the value of a godly woman to a home and family. She is priceless. That's what the Bible says. And husbands, if you have a virtuous wife, treasure her. If there are areas of virtue that are lacking, build her, strengthen her, help her. And if she is a virtuous woman, treasure her. A fortune in a wife is better than a fortune with a wife. In one of those churchyard cemeteries, you can find a tombstone with this inscription: "She always made home happy." Of all the things that can be said to honor a woman, it seems to me that there isn't higher praise than that. There might be easier compliments. She was fun. She was beautiful. She was important. She was good at what she did. It might be easier to say she was a Christian. She was a church member. She was a faithful Sunday school teacher. Many women were all of that, but they made home miserable. Among the things that might be etched into a tombstone, I think that might be the best thing ever said. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and praise of her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Let's pray.